The following program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Most of the time, people question whether or not their faith is adequate. And most of the time, people say, well, I don't know, I don't have great faith, or I have weak faith, or I don't have enough faith, or some people say, I don't have any faith. Is the issue really talking about developing something that God gave you, faith? Or is it really dealing with developing your use of faith? If you are born again, you have already been given all the faith you will ever need. The issue is, you've just got to learn how to use it. Ladies and gentlemen, your faith is your servant. Your faith should stay out on the field, and it continues to work, and it does what you command it to do, that it is out there working. It is going to stay out there working. Its job is to work. Its duty is to work. It has been commanded by you to work.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verses 3 through 5. One of the things that it's just really been an interesting week so far. The Lord put this on my heart. He said there is a distinction between the finished works of Jesus Christ that have been given to us by His grace and the person of Jesus Christ who is grace. Think about that for a moment. The finished works of Jesus Christ that comes as a result of His grace, but the person of Jesus Christ. And I say, well, what's the difference? He says, well, grace has made the finished works available, but the person of grace will give you what you need to get the finished works. So while you have to have faith to get the finished works, the person of grace, He will even provide the faith for you. And so we have to be careful when we are dealing with this item of faith, not to forget that you don't want to turn it into a fleshy performance idea where you start doing things to get faith, to get the grace. So let me just get into this tonight. So I'm going to talk to you about developing your faith versus developing your use of faith. Developing your faith versus developing your use of faith. Now, I'll show you how this came about. Most of the time, people question whether or not their faith is adequate. And most of the time, people say, well, I don't know, I don't have great faith, or I have weak faith, or I don't have enough faith, or some people say, I don't have any faith. Is the issue really talking about developing something that God gave you, faith? Or is it really dealing with developing your use of faith? And as we get into this, I think you'll kind of see what I'm talking about here. You see, you don't need more faith, so quit trying to get it. You don't need more faith. Now, I know religiously that's what we've heard, but you don't need more faith, so stop trying to get more. You see, if you're born again, you've already been given all the faith you'll ever need. If you are born again, you have already been given all of the faith you will ever need. If you are born again, you have already been given all the faith you will ever need. The issue is, you've just got to learn how to use it. You're just ignorant of what you've got and how to use it. You already have it, but now you got to start using it. If you understand that, say amen. Amen. So I'm going to use Luke chapter 17 to drive this point home. In Luke 17, verse 3, I'm going to start at 3 through 5 first. He says, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother Take heed thyself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Now notice what he's talking to his disciple. Now, if your brother trespass against you, I want you to rebuke him. And if he repent, then I want you to forgive him. And if he shall trespass again 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, Jesus said, thou shalt forgive him. Now look how they responded to this, because I mean, it's like, what? Are you serious? And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, they said, it's going to take more faith to be able to do what you commanded us to do. He said, you need to increase our faith, because seriously, if this guy sins against us 7 times and then 7 times in a day, and then when you're asking us to forgive him, that's a whole lot of forgiveness going somewhere, and increase our faith. So here is the attitude that most Christians have today when they face great challenges: increase our faith. Now, I want you to see how Jesus responded to this, because, you know, based on the situation that's at hand and all the things that are going on, we don't think we already have faith, just use it. Somehow or another, religion's got us to the point where we think, oh, I need some more faith. Immediately you go to, I need more. I need more. We sing it in our songs, more, 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 more. And he's already given it to us. Now look how he responds here, because we already have more than enough faith. In fact, say this out loud. I already have more faith. More than enough. More faith than I'll ever need. I already have it. All right, now, so look at how Jesus responded to their request, increase our faith. Look what he says in verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. All right, well, first of all, it doesn't seem like he even answered the question. They were talking about, Lord, increase our faith. Firstly, he didn't do it. What he said was, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, mustard seed is so small that if I took it and put it between my index finger and my thumb, you wouldn't even be able to tell that I have it in my hand. That's how small it is. He was saying, guys, you don't have a faith problem. You're talking about increase my faith as if you have a faith problem. You don't have a faith problem. You just are not using the faith you already have. Jesus was saying here that you don't need big faith. He was saying here you don't need more faith. He was saying just learn how to use the faith you already have. He did not address the issue of increase our faith. He began to address the issue. Look at the things you can do with the faith you already have. Why, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do this, you can do that. But what they were saying is, oh, in order for us to do this thing that you commanded of us, Lord, you have to increase our faith. And he was saying, no, 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 use the faith you have. Turn to your neighbor and say, use the faith you have. So I want to reemphasize this. You already possess the same amount of faith as Jesus did when he physically walked on the earth. You already possess the same amount of faith that Jesus did physically when he walked on this earth. It's inside of every born again believer. You have enough faith to do anything that needs to be done while you're on this planet. You have enough faith to do anything that needs to be done on this planet. You have enough faith to apprehend anything that grace has made available to you. Now, some people believe faith works, but they don't believe that, you know, they have enough of it. I believe faith works. I just don't believe I have enough of faith. I believe it works. I just don't believe I got enough of it. Some people think that it comes and it goes. Well, I have faith yesterday, but I don't know if I have faith today. Well, Lord, you know, sometimes my faith is up, sometimes it's down, sometimes it's weak, sometimes it's strong. We have got to change our thinking where this is concerned. So now look what he says after verse 6. He's talking about this issue of faith. Remember, he's talking about you know, use your faith. So he goes in this little parable. He says, verse 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird up thyself, serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat, and afterwards thou shalt drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? In other words, he says, I trot not, or the original language says, that's not how this works. And in verse 10, he says, so likewise, ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read that little parable for a while, and I'm like, what in the world is he talking about? Well, here's what he's talking about. In those days, you know, slavery and having a servant was a known deal. It was just something that you knew about. And so Jesus is using this as an illustration here concerning this issue of using your faith. And what he says is, your faith is out on the field working. In verse 7, he says, you got a servant, and that servant's out on the field working. That servant's out there feeding the cattle. Now, are you going to say to that servant, this is what they do, come on in and take a break? He says, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to say, come on in and continue to work. Go ahead and make my food. You can't take a break until I got everything in place. You can't take a break until I'm taken care of. He says, so likewise, ladies and gentlemen, your faith is your servant. Your faith should stay out on the field, and it continues to work, and it does what you command it to do, that it is out there working. It is going to stay out there working. Its job is to work. Its duty is to work. It has been commanded by you to work. And so likewise, just as they did with slaves and servants, so likewise you do where faith is concerned. Put it to work. Keep your faith working. That's what Jesus was saying here. The whole issue was when they said increase our faith, Jesus was saying you don't need an increase of faith. You just need to put it to work. You don't need an increase of faith. You just need to keep it working. And it'll do what it's commanded to do. Now, so you start putting your faith to work the way a master uses a slave. It's not a matter of not having a servant. It's a matter of not putting or using what you've got. Use what you have. You know, so many people walk around wondering why this hadn't happened, why that hadn't manifested. You check it out. Has your faith been put to work? I mean, have you even opened your mouth to say anything about that situation? Or have you been absorbed by your emotions to the point where you haven't put your faith to work? And the more you sit back there and you settle into the seduction of the circumstance or the situation, and you fail to put it and command it to go to work, you don't have a faith problem. The problem is you don't put it to work. We keep walking around talking about, well, maybe I need more faith. Well, maybe my faith's not strong enough. Maybe all this maybe stuff. And it's just so simple. You've been given faith. Put it to work. Turn to two people and say, put your faith to work. You know, most people don't believe their faith is adequate. Most people don't believe their faith is adequate. Let's just say, for an example, if I were to ask you the question, do you believe that God can heal this person of this particular disease? And you would probably say, yes, I do. Then I say, well, you know what? Do you believe that God can deliver this person from this particular bondage? You probably say, yes, I do. Then I take a little deeper and I said, you know what? This person's dead. Do you believe that God can raise this person from the dead? And you'll say, oh, yes, I absolutely believe it. And you probably move up closer so you can behold the miracle. But then if I ask you, you believe that God can raise it from the dead? Yes. All right, come up and raise it from the dead. Think about the different excuses you would make. I don't know if I have the faith to do that. I don't know if my faith is strong enough to do that. I just don't know. Even some of you, as I sit here and just use that illustration, you think, do you really expect for us to be able to do these things? Oh, yeah, I do. I do. But you've got to begin to put your faith to work. So are we talking about developing your faith that God gave you? Or are we talking about start developing your use in your faith that God has given you? I don't think you're using it as much as you think you are. Because this faith is not just to be used when you come to church and you have a problem. This faith is not just to be used, you know, when you feel, you know, encouraged enough to use this faith. Put it to work. Put it to work. Go home tonight and put it to work. Wake up tomorrow, make sure it's put to work. And you make sure it stays working until you're full and completely satisfied. You put your faith to work. It's not working, ladies and gentlemen. I've started paying attention to Christian people, and they are not working what they already have. Unless some issue comes up, faith is not being put to work. Now watch this as we dig into this just a little bit more. So you don't doubt that faith works. You just don't believe you have the quality or the quantity of faith you need. That's the religious belief. I know faith will work. I just don't know about the quality and the quantity of my faith. And you're always looking at your faith based in quality and based in quantity. Well, I'm going to show you why I have a problem with this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Quality and quantity of faith. A Christian's always judging the quality and the quantity of faith. He just can't believe that when he got saved, he has already received the very faith that Jesus used to do everything he did. Now, this is going to be radical. You think what I've said so far is radical. It's going to get very radical. Look at Ephesians chapter 8 and 9. I want you to think. I want you to look. I want you to think about what you're reading. Let's look at verse 8. For by grace are you what? All right, so what is the thing you get by grace here? Salvation. He says you get it through what? Faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Now, this it is very important because salvation is a gift, but faith is also a gift. So he gave you salvation and the faith to obtain it. Verse 9. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, this is interesting. The gift of salvation is not of works. It's by grace. But the gift of faith is not of works. It's by grace. God gave us gifts. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace. We get it through faith. But he gave us the faith to get it. Let me say that again. God gave us the gift of salvation, and then he gave us the gift of faith to get what grace made available. So salvation came by grace, but faith also came by grace to get what grace has made available. Lord, have mercy. So what I'm saying to you is that salvation equals gift from God. Faith is equal gift from God. It's a gift from God. Now, here's the thing you have to understand. If it is a gift, you did not work to get it. You do not earn gifts. You don't work for gifts. A gift is something that's unmerited. It is something you don't deserve, but you get it anyway. He gave you salvation as a gift. He gave you faith as a gift. Now, when we read and we've studied that, you know, by grace we can get certain things, but you get it through faith. The grace of God has made everything available, but you get it through faith. Somehow we think, well, you know, we don't think about where did the faith come from. Well, the Bible made it clear in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. All right, now listen to me carefully now. Romans chapter 10, let's look at verse 14. Go over there. Romans 10, 14 and 17. I'm always digging around to see if I see another way to get you in a place where you can begin to walk in manifestation. Romans chapter 10, 14 and 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's one thing that is clear from these scriptures. You cannot believe unless you hear the word of God. Because God's word carries faith. You cannot believe unless you hear the word of God. Because God's word carries faith. You cannot believe that you can be healed until you hear the word of God. Because God's word carries faith. You cannot believe that you will prosper until you hear the word of God, because God's word carries faith on that. You will not be delivered until you hear the word of God, because God's word, not by faith, because God's word carries the faith on that. So every word that comes out of your mouth is a container. Every words are spiritual containers. Words will contain the substance to destroy you, or words will contain the substance to be a blessing to you. Words are containers. I can speak words to encourage you, or I can speak words to encourage you. I can speak words to make you feel good. I can speak words to make you feel bad. I can speak words to bring you cheer. I can speak words that'll bring you sadness. Words are containers. Words are spiritual containers. They contain the substance that will govern your emotions and will govern how you feel. If you understand that, say amen. So now God's own faith, his faith is located in little containers called words. God has taken his own faith and put them in the containers called words. So when you get his word, you're going to get the faith that's in the container of his word. Look at Romans 11 and 29. Romans 11, 29. Verse 29 says this, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance or change of mind. So God's not changing his mind about the gifts and the callings that he's given you. Faith is a gift. So he didn't wake up one morning, of course he doesn't sleep according to the Bible, and just decide, well, I changed my mind about that gift of faith. It's not going to change his mind about it. You have it. The day you got saved, you have the gift of faith, and God has not and will not change his mind about the gift of faith.
You got to start speaking this thing until you literally talk yourself into it.
Develop your faith with Creflo Dollar's combo, How Do I Trust God? It includes a 4-message series and Removing Sin and Guilt, a mini book companion. Also, The Perfect Definition of Manhood, exposing the cultural lies about a man's identity. Get the entire combo today for a love gift of $50 or more. Call or log on today for the How Do I Trust God combo.